From health and wellness to education,
we need to be thinking about what it takes for students to succeed.
From art and politics to social issues of the day,
we have young Black males who are thriving in their communities and who are being shown as leaders.
The journey is what matters.
I would say to all of us, we can be better than we are.
Let's join Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, president of Howard University, and his guests as they take steps on the journey.
At a time when there's so many questions about the use and abuse of drugs in our society, our guest today has spent a career preparing students in the study of the pharmaceutical sciences. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guest today on the journey is the interim dean of the Howard University College of Pharmacy, Dr. Daphne Bernard. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So I am very concerned when I look at the news reports about the number of people that are abusing painkillers, etc. And obviously, President Obama very recently has really jumped on this issue in trying to close down the access as well as some of the accountability around how we are treating this. And in some parts of the country, to be quite honest, there's quite an epidemic. There's even data now to suggest that the mortality rate among white males between the ages of 25 to 44 is skyrocketing, and partly because of this drug abuse. What is your take as a clinical pharmacist about that and about what we should be doing as a society to control it?
Thank you for the question. You know, prescription drug abuse is something that has been going on for a long time. More recently, it's captured national attention largely because it's centered around abuse of pain medicines. And so I think we're at a time where we have got to take a look at it and do something about it. You know, when we talk about street drugs and the abuse of street drugs, I think there's a stigma that's associated with it. However, when we talk about prescription drug abuse, that's something a little different, because most individuals, they look at prescription drugs, even the painkillers, as things that will help them. And I think quite often they don't understand that the same thing that can help can actually harm. And so a lot of the national attention around this has to do with opioid abuse. And so along with the attention comes laws, budgets, you know, a lot of funding around ways to kind of get a hold on what's going on. When there are epidemics within certain communities, then it garners a bit more attention than in other communities. And so I don't think it's by coincidence that we're seeing a huge focus on this at this time. And don't forget, in terms of the availability and the promotion of using prescription drugs, that is a gateway almost to abuse, quite frankly.
You know, you've touched on a couple of things that I think are very critical for the construct of our society. So within an education system such as Howard University and the College of Pharmacy, what are we currently doing with our present pharmacy students to prepare them for that? What role do you see our new trained pharmacists playing in terms of trying to ebb the epidemic?
I can tell you one of the main things that we're doing in terms of training our students, we really are starting now and have started a while ago in preparing them for what pharmacy really is and what it will be moving forward. And so no longer should pharmacy be seen as being tied to a product in terms of dispensing a product, but more so when we talk about pharmacy and training our students, we're really training them to make sure that they are a part of ensuring a safety net. And when we talk about a safety net, a lot of that is surrounding the safe and responsible use of medications. And so as we engage with them and they do case studies and they do simulations and they get out there in experiential rotations, one of the things that we want them to make sure that they're looking at is how they're engaging with the patient, how they're assessing therapy, are their needs being met? Because as we know, when a patient who has pain needs, when those needs aren't met by their doctor, then they seek other remedies. And that can be a gateway to abuse. And also even the over-prescribing of other medications, a lot of individuals don't realize it, but some of this abuse is around someone else's medicine. So their child's medicine, or their neighbor's medicine, or their grandma's medicine. And so we have really been working with the DEA, at least our students at Howard University's College of Pharmacy. They are enthusiastically involved with the DEA in the prescription drug take-back days. And what we emphasize is it's more it's a more responsible thing for you to get rid of unused medications, because if they're in your medicine cabinet, they can easily find their way in your son's backpack or in their system, quite frankly.
So with that in mind, is the pharmaceutical industry set up to help address the problem from a cooperation and collaboration point of view? So, and I'll give you a specific scenario that I'm getting at. Is the system and the current pharmacist really working together so that if patient A shows up at pharmacy in you know, Glen Burnie, Maryland today with a prescription, fills it for pain medication, but then shows up 3 days later in Alexandria, Virginia, is the system set up to detect that so that that intervention can take place appropriately?
Absolutely. What we're excited about is across the country, several boards of pharmacy are working with their regulatory agencies to make sure that they have in place a prescription drug monitoring program. It exists, and several states are doing this well. And then there are some states that are really new and just coming into this. What we have found out is if you are a state and you have in place a very solid prescription drug monitoring program, then yes, when patient goes to place A and gets a prescription filled for something, and even if they drive across town or they cross the borders and goes into the next state and gets another prescription for a similar medication filled, it's in the system and it's immediately flagged. And so if you are a state that does not have that system, guess what? You're going to see an increase in the misuse and abuse of prescription medications because no one's tracking them. And so here in D.C., I'm very pleased, you probably already know this, but we have an approved prescription drug monitoring program that is in place and should be rolling out any day now. And so that is our approach to trying to make sure we do things a little bit better here in the District of Columbia.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Dr. Daphne Bernard, the Interim Dean of the College of Pharmacy here at Howard University. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. So just to change gears a little bit, you've played a role in terms of policy and regulation on the D.C. Board of Pharmacy. One of the things that I'm always very impressed about is how much Howard University faculty and especially our deans really play in the role they play in shaping policy regulation in the community. Tell me about your experience as on the Board of Pharmacy.
You know, it's very important that our students realize that if we really are to change the game and to really see the health outcomes that not only do the residents of the District of Columbia deserve, but the individuals around the nation, then we have to have them understand. It's not just enough to know the therapeutics. You've got to be at the table and to be very knowledgeable and to be very comfortable with the laws around how we practice. And so we're still pleased. You'll hear this often. You know, Howard University still has the only College of Pharmacy in the nation's capital. And when we say that with a notion of responsibility. I feel that our program is responsible for really helping to promote the advancement of pharmacy across this country. We are in a position to do that. And so when we train our students, one of the main things that we hold them responsible for is you have to know about policy. You have to know about regulatory affairs. We are one of, if not the only, pharmacy program where it's mandatory that our students do at least 1 5-week rotation steeped in regulatory affairs and policy. Mm. And the way we can do that is because we have these great relationships with D.C. government. Mm.
I visited a major pharmaceutical distributor. And I have to tell you, I was extremely impressed. The use of robotics in dispensing drugs in terms of increasing the accuracy, making sure the right dosages are getting there, and also making sure that those things are happening efficiently.
Yeah, that's one thing that we have to do. We have to stay innovative. And so in our program, as well as other pharmacy programs, the incorporation of robotics and getting the students trained and familiar with automation in terms of the dispensary is crucial because that's really what they're going to see in practice. What that also means is it's changing, again, pharmacy. And so we have all these robots that can do the dispensing. So guess what? Now that frees up your pharmacist to be able to take care of the patient a little bit better, to make sure that that medication that was prescribed by their doctor or by their nurse practitioner actually is understood and is taken properly and delivering the proper outcomes.
The advertisement of drugs on television is something that I find alarming in terms of content as well as the proliferation of it. Especially, it seems, over the past 5 to 10 years, the number of pharmaceutical drugs that are that are basically advertised for direct consumer involvement, mm-hmm. bypassing prescribers, really, to me, is shocking. What impact do you think that is having on our society? And again, what role do you see pharmacists playing in making sure that that's being done safely, if it can be done safely?
Yeah, it's really interesting. So we live in a time where, and you know this, you know, we have patients that will go to their doctor and say, hey, I want a prescription for this. I want to try this because I saw the commercial mm-hmm. or I saw the advertisement in the magazine. What that direct-to-consumer marketing is doing is really causing us to be even more responsible for how we educate and advise our patients. Because there are some prescribers who just may say, sure, I'll write it, I'll go ahead and prescribe it. But again, this really goes back to, we want a cost-effective healthcare system. We do. And I think as responsible healthcare professionals, we have to ensure that when we practice, we are making sure that we're working with our patients so that they have the most cost-effective therapy, especially when you have so many other drugs, that are out there. And quite often, you know, the new kid on the block, even though he may not be any different, you know, even more, you know, more advantageous to the available agents, the new products are the ones that kind of garner a lot of attention, and a lot of times they have a higher price tag as well. So it just makes us more responsible for making sure that our patients are well educated.
Now, for our audiences, for our audience benefit, the idea that there are drugs with expiration dates that are loose is something that I hear a lot from patients. You know, the expiration date was last month. They put an early expiration date. The drug is really good for another 3 to 6 months. But why don't you give us some advice on how we should manage expired drugs, and what is the recommendation from a clinical pharmacist regarding this issue?
Well, it's important that consumers do pay attention to the expiration date. Here's why. Because there are some drugs that the potency really does matter, and it really will decrease quickly. And so when you look at good manufacturing practices, and when you look at the regulations around expiration dates, it's always better to be safe than sorry. And so when you see that that drug has expired, be safe and get rid of it. Because you could have a medication that, you know, the quality of it really has decreased right within that time frame of the expiration date. And if you take it too far after that, you won't get the effect of it.
As we close, we're focused on interprofessional education here at Howard University in our health sciences area. Please tell my audience, any potential pharmacy school applicants, why the pharmacist is an integral part of the healthcare profession.
Absolutely. And I just want to say, interprofessional education is something that this university has been doing for a while. So when we look at the pharmacist and how the pharmacist has a role in this whole patient-centered care, I always say pharmacists are like the glue. And when I say the glue, what I mean is, after they go to the doctor, they go to the pharmacist. After they have surgery, typically somebody has to go to the pharmacist. After they go to the dentist, they go to the pharmacist. My point is, the pharmacist really is in a unique position to try to make sure that everything is pulled together, to make sure that that ultimate decision that, you know, that's a part of their care, i.e. their drug therapy, actually is appropriate and it works. And if it doesn't work, their point of contact to help make sure that the prescriber is aware and an alternative is found. And so I look at the pharmacist as that point of contact that try to helps everything be pulled together.
Thanks for being here. My guest today has been Dr. Daphne Bernard. She is the interim dean of the College of Pharmacy here at Howard University. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, right here on the Howard University Radio Network.
WHUR is wherever you are. Download our new app and listen to us on your iPhone, iPad, Android, or listen to us online at TuneIn and WHUR.com.